Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to the Divine Deliverance Ministries, located here in Fort Worth, Texas, and this is Evangelist Spain. I am so elated and delighted to be with you on this morning. God has been such an awesome Savior, and I'm so thankful to Him for allowing me to be with you again. It's been a long time since we have aired here on Blog Talk Radio, but we're back and we're excited about being back and being able to minister and to spread the word of the Lord with you and to share what thus said the Lord. We are just excited about what God is doing in this season. We're excited that God has blessed us in so many ways. He's given us so many different elevations and promotions and has allowed us to graduate from several phases. And I just thank God for that because God has promised to do certain things in our lives, and those promises are manifesting just as we speak, and we are grateful to God for allowing His promises to go forth. You know, anytime God makes a promise to us, He keeps it. God is a promise keeper. He doesn't break promises because He's not a God that could lie to us. So we just thank God because He is a God who keeps His word. If He tells us that He's going to do something for us, and you can bet your last penny that He is going to make a way. He is going to provide. He is going to do just what He said. So again, I'm excited to be with you this morning here on Divine Deliverance Ministries broadcast. We're excited about what God is doing. And again, this is Evangelist Spain. I'm just excited to be with you. We want to invite you to visit our website at www.divinedeliverancemin.com. There are several tabs that you can visit there. Most importantly, we have a prayer request tab. Please be guilty of visiting our request tab. Let us pray with you and for you that God will open doors and that He will make ways and that He will heal, send healing to your body, and that your loved ones as well as yourself will be saved and sanctified and filled with the precious power of the Holy Ghost. Because truly we serve a living and risen King, and He died upon the cross that we would not be lost in our sin, but that we would have eternal life. And so please be guilty of sending us a message there to request us to pray with you. You don't have to go into detail about all of your business. Just tell us to pray with you and to lay before the Lord on your behalf, and we will be glad to do that, to add you to our prayer request list and to pray with you and to pray for you. Also, if you'd like to just send us a message just to let us know how the Word of God is moving in your life and how it has increased your faith, and just give us a testimony of what Divine Deliverance Ministries has done or is doing for you. Amen. Amen. Because truly we are not a ministry that is just out here just doing whatever just because. God gave us this ministry because truly there is divine deliverance in Christ Jesus. That's the theme that He gave to us, that there is divine deliverance in Him. All we have to do is seek and trust Him and believe that all things are possible to those who believe. So if we believe, then all things become possible because He tells us that we can do all things through Christ. That strengthens us. And so because we're living in these last and evil days, these perilous times, it's very important for us to be sure that our anchor is holding and gripping the solid rock, which is Christ Jesus. There's so much going on in our world today, in the nation, and just abroad, in various countries where people are being martyred, being killed, beheaded because of their love for Christ and because they're Christians. People are being abused and children are being molested and raped, and politicians are going head and head and toe to toe just to get a place of recognition and to make a dollar and to have fame and fortune. There is so much going on, even in our school systems where our children are attending. So many various demonic spirits that have infiltrated the school systems because our families are no longer praying. We no longer have prayer in our homes. And it's not just the school, because if we begin prayer at home, how many of you all know that charity begins at home? So if you do a work at home, if you are praying for your families at home, then it will spread abroad. So if you begin to pray for your family at home, cover your children. There, as I said before, there are various demonic spirits that have infiltrated the school systems, and not just the school systems, but our churches. And so it is very important that we pray without ceasing. Is that not what the Bible says? The Bible says that we must pray without ceasing. And that means to have a heart filled with prayer, even in the midst of your walking down the street or driving down the highway, or as you're going through the grocery store, you can say a prayer within yourself. You don't have to walk and be talking loud and praying out loud and being boisterous of your prayer. The Bible speaks against that. But we want to be sure that we are guilty of doing just as the Word of God has stated. We want to pray without ceasing. There's so much going on in this world, and we cannot afford not to pray, because prayer is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. But prayer is the key to heaven, and then your faith unlocks the door. So in order for us to be able to even turn or to have a key, we must pray, and then our faith, we must believe it, what we have prayed, and then it will unlock the door. Praise God. Hallelujah. As I said before, I'm so excited to be with you on today. And Divine Deliverance Ministries is not a ministry that is just here doing this and doing that. Before we just do anything, excuse me, we will pray and we will wait on God to allow Him to manifest and to give us the vision that He has for us to the things that He has for us to do. This is not a ministry that just does this and just does that just for notoriety, just for popularity, just for fame, just for fortune. I don't want the whole world, because the Bible says, what would profit a man to gain the whole wide world and lose his soul? That is not our wish. That is not our will. We want God's will to be done, and we want our souls to be saved. We want everyone whom we come in contact with to be saved and sanctified and filled with the precious power of the Holy Ghost. And if they choose not to be, it's not because we've not imparted the Word of God into them. It is because they've chosen not to receive what the Lord has said. Amen. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. As I've stated before, we are not that type of ministry, and God had laid upon my heart that it's important for ministries to make sure that they are not empty, because there is a danger of empty religion, and religion is not what's going to get us to heaven. It is the Word of God and our hearts. The Bible says that to follow peace with all men, for holiness without shall no man see the Lord. And it's important for us to be holy as the Lord is holy. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Nothing but the righteous is going to see the Lord. So it's important that we live the life that we talk about. Not we just talk about it and then just go on our merry way. There'll be no change in our life. But we must live this life that we talk about. The Bible tells us that when we come into Christ, that we become new creatures. The old man passes away. So that means that the things that we used to do, we should not have a desire to do them anymore. So if the things that I once did kept me from seeing the Lord. Let's just say that I was smoking and drinking, and I was, and cussing, and I was, and partying as I was before the Lord saved me. And that was displeasing to God because my body is a temple of Christ, and there's certainly no way that I could pour in poisonous things into my temple and God be pleased. So that's why it's important for us to change, not just spiritually, but naturally, in order for us to please God. Amen. Because the body, the natural body, is always at wits with the spiritual body. And so it's important for both to align with Christ. Even when you become saved and sanctified, children of God, I must be honest with you, there is a warring of the spirits continuously. But that's why it's important for us to stay prayed up and to have an open line to God, because he allows the Holy Ghost to come in and not just make us move and shout and shake and jump up and down, but he also teaches us and he hearkens us to the things that are not of God. So it's so very important that we are lining up with the word of glory to God. So with that being said, I want to go to 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 9. And I may not read the entire scriptures for 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 9, but I want to talk to you a little bit about what I have just stated. Yesterday, as I was scrolling through Facebook, I noticed how there were so many seminars and so many conferences that are going on and so many ministries that are popping up here and popping up there. And if God is calling us, calling you to be a minister or calling you to have your own ministry, that's great. But if God has not told you to start your own ministry, or has not called you to ministry as a pastor, apostle, evangelist, or a teacher, then I just want to say to you that it is dangerous for you to do something that is not of God. Glory to God. And I know the Bible teaches and tells us about false prophets and teachers. And so if that would be you, it is dangerous for you to go against the grain of the word of God, because truly he will deal with you in his own time. We reap what we sow. So I want to say that I wanted to talk about that today, because there's so many various ministries and so many conferences, women's conferences and men's conferences and this and that is going on. And it's great for all of this information to be poured into us. But when this information is poured into you, what exactly are you doing with that information that's being poured into you? Are you taking it and applying it to your lifestyle? When they tell you, when you're told that you have to live for the Lord and you have to surrender your all to him and that you have to give up things in order to please God, are you actually doing that, or are you just going on with your day as if no one has ever told you anything? Well, let me tell you something, that for every service that you attend and for every piece of information that is imparted into your spirit about the word of God, you are now held accountable for every word that is given to you. So you are accountable for the things that you know, not the things that you do not know. So God holds you accountable for every word that is imparted into your life. Every time you hear it and it drops into your spirit, into your brain, into your being, it goes through your ear gate, then you are responsible for that you know. Glory to God. So let me just go to the word of God. It says here in 2 Timothy 2 and 3, it says, and I'm going to read from the New Living, from the NLT. It says, "You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that can make them godly. Stay away from people like that. They are the kind who work their way into people's homes and win the confidence of vulnerable women who are burdened with the guilt of sin and controlled by various desires. Such women are forever following new teachings, but they are never able to understand the truth. These teachers oppose the truth just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses. They have depraved minds and a counterfeit faith, but they won't get away with this for long. Someday everyone will recognize what fools they are, just as with Jannes and Jambres. So the Word of God tells us exactly what is going on in this time, in this season, and what's going on in our world on today. And as I said on yesterday, it had just dropped in my spirit that, and some people say that all the time, but I'm really being real, that it dropped in my spirit that there's so many different things going on, all of these different services and whatnot. And as I was studying, this particular scripture was dropped in my spirit, and I just wanted to share it with you. And what was brought to mind was the fact that there is danger in empty religion. There is danger in empty religion. There is danger in empty religion. Someone has described the evening news as the program where the announcer says, "Good evening," and then proceeds to tell you why it isn't. I know that some of us would rather turn the news on and hear good news versus hearing bad news. Can you just imagine that if we turned on the news that the announcer would say, "Good evening, I just want to let you know about all of the good that has taken place in the world on today," that every plane that launched for the sky met their destinations on scheduled times, and there have been no crashes today. I just want to let you know that crime is down. No one has been robbed. No one has been kidnapped. There has been no killings. There has been no abuse. There has been no rapes. Everything is well within the land. Politicians are no longer going head to head and biting each other's heads off just to get fame or fortune, but each are now working together, hand in hand, trying to work things out so that this world will be a better place to live. The economy seems to be doing much better, and things are going very good within the stock markets. In fact, the things that are going good within the stock markets are beginning to be sent down to the people who are poor and without. Wouldn't it be nice to turn on the news and hear of the good news versus hearing all the things that are going on in the world that is bad? Well, I'm sure that would be a good thing to hear the good news. And as pessimistic as it may be, we need to know the problems that we are up against so that we will not hit, if they will not hit us, broadside us, catch us in such a sense that we are discouraged and disoriented because we did not know what was going on. So here in our text, Paul gives Timothy and us a dose of reality about the times in which we live. He warns us that in the last days, difficult times will come. The Greek word for difficult is used only one other time in the New Testament to describe the two violent, demoniac, gedra periods in the Word of God. And so the idea that during the church, Paul says that when he says that we are living in the last days, then time really means on the last times. Time really means seasons or periods. Usually, we hear people saying in this season, and because this season, well, the season has passed, and the season that, well, exactly what they're speaking of are they're speaking of the time, the times in which we are living at the particular moment. It means harsh. Times mean fierce and savage. When Paul says the last days, he is referring to the period of time between Christ's ascension and his second coming. Times means seasons and time periods. So the idea is that during the church age, there will be various times, some more important than others, where the church will face intense, sometimes savage opposition. Paul here describes in detail the kind of evil men who instigate such opposition against the church. As you read through this long list of evil characteristics, you probably think of godless enemies of the faith that never darken the door of a church. But then you come to verse 5, where Paul says that they hold to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. You realize, good grief, he's talking about those within the church. He's describing professing Christians. Some are church leaders. They teach Bible studies. They're not passive sitting in the pews and in the pew members, but those who are active in ministry. But their religion is just an empty shell. They lack the reality of a genuine walk with God who looks on the heart. They talk a good talk, yet they put on a good front, but in their motives, their thought lives, and their personal relationships, they are not good people. It's easy to read this list and think, you know, I once knew someone who fit the description. He was a real scoundrel. Or I've read about guys like this. Shame on them. But I think that Paul wanted Timothy and us to do some personal soul searching as we read this list and ask, Lord, is it I? Could I be drifting into holding to a form of godliness, but be denying its power to transform my heart? Paul's message to us is we must knowingly avoid empty religion and those who propagate it. He makes 4 points here that I want to share with you very quickly. Empty religion is a constant danger for us all. It is easy to fall into the trap of outwardly professing one thing, but inwardly and towards those that know us, living another. The reason that unbelievers often complain about all the hypocrites in the church is that there are a lot of hypocrites in the church. Let's just be real about it. They wouldn't complain if it was not so. Make sure that you are not one of them. Paul says 3 things about this kind of empty religion. Empty religion means having the form without the power. These men claim to be Christians. Probably if they had read Paul's description here, either they would have mentally shrugged it off as applying to someone else other than themselves, or they would have protested that it was a gross fact, that they were saying something that was not true. Hypocrites seldom recognize their hypocrisy as Jesus' encounter with the Pharisees demonstrated. Alexander McLaren observed in 2 Timothy 3 and 5, the worse a man is, the less he knows. The more completely a professing Christian has lost his hold of the substance and is clinging only to the form, the less does he suspect that this indictment has any application to him. So in other words, they are more apt to believe that they are doing right, yet versus them doing wrong. So your text has no sort of application to me. They'll say that what you're saying is not so. He thereby shows that it has a very close application to him. He adds,
substitute outward connection with the church for inward union with Jesus Christ. If you have the inward reality of a vital relationship with Jesus Christ, you will be judging your life each day by the life of Scripture. You will be confessing and forsaking evil thoughts that do not please God. You will be examining your life with regard to the evil characteristics that Paul lists here, turning from them in thought, word, and deed. Those that are closest to you should observe the reality of the Lordship of Christ in your daily life. Do the people who know you well, the people who talk to you daily, the people who see you on a daily basis, your family, your friends, your co-workers, the people you see in the grocery store, when you see them on a daily basis, do they see the same person every day? Or do they see a changed person? Do they see the same old you, the person who never changed, who has not no change, even though they have professed to have Christ within their life? What do they see? Well, the root problem of empty religion is misplaced affections. It is significant that the first two and the last item in this list talk about love that is wrongly directed. Lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Those with empty religion are lovers of self. This leads the list and is really the root cause of everything else on this list. People who love themselves have no desire to love anyone else. They're always for themselves first. It's all about me. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone and all you could hear is something about themselves? You can never get out what it is that you are trying to get out in regards to what's going on in your life because you're constantly living, listening to me, me, me. Or you can't say that this girl, I did this, man, I did this, or I did that, and this happened to me, and before you can even get it out, they're saying, oh, I know it happened to me, and then they go on this long dissertation about what happened. Well, lovers of themselves, having no discernment, having no desire to help or to please others. Yes, that's exactly what we're talking about. Years ago, for a while, I got stuck into the current of a modern church that says you need to love yourself properly. The verse that is always cited for support is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The reasoning goes, if you don't love yourself properly, you can't love God and others. So you need to develop proper self-love or self-esteem. But this idea did not come into the church from the Bible. It came into the church in the past 40 years from the teaching of godless men like Carl Rogers and Eric Fromm. I read a lot of men from previous centuries, excuse me, and all of them uniformly condemn self-love as a terrible sin. The Bible is clear that our root problem is that we love ourselves all too well. There are only two, not three, great commandments. Love God and love your neighbor. Self-love is the assumed standard by which you can measure if you really love others. If you would show the concern for others that you practice toward yourself, you would fulfill the commandment. Even those with so-called poor self-esteem love themselves so much. Invariably, they are self-focused people. But the mark of the biblical love is self-sacrifice. Self-love or self-esteem. So I just want to say, because my time is beginning to run out, that it's very important for you not to get caught into a selfish type of or an empty type of religion. Find yourself loving others as God, as Christ himself would love them. Find yourself doing what the word of God has said for us to do. For we are living in the last days, my brothers and my sisters, and it is very important for us to catch on and grip the solid rock, which is in Christ Jesus. We have a directory of life, and it's called the Bible. And from Genesis to to Revelation, it tells us how we should walk day to day and how we should live from day to day. It even gives us a manuscript and a schematic on how to, what to do when things go wrong, when things become broken and they fall apart. It tells us how the potter can put us back together again. Empty religion can lead you to a place called hell, where they tell me that that place is dark and you can't see before your hand before your face, and there are gnashing of teeth. And I just want you to know that Jesus is soon to return. He is coming back for a church without a spot or a wrinkle, and it is important for those of us who have been called into the ministry to be sure that we are telling of the good news of Christ Jesus, that he died upon the cross for our sins, that we would not be lost, and that he is soon to return, and he's coming for a holy church. He's coming for churches, people who are living holy, a holy and acceptable and pleasing life before him, because that is our reasonable service. It is important that we do not live it with have an empty religion, because it's very dangerous as we are going from one church to another church trying to find membership and trying to find the word that will fit us. It is important that we are praying and that we are discerning before we reach the steps of that church, because it is possible, it is very possible, that the leader of that place may not be called by God. And if you're sitting up under the leadership of someone who is not called by God, your soul could yet be lost because they are imparting information into you that is not correct. So I tell you, my brothers and sisters, pray and get an answer before you go from one place to another, because every place called upon the name, every place that is called a house of God is not a house of God. It is important that we find ourselves doing what thus said the word of God. It is dangerous. It is a danger to live in a place with empty religion. Father God, I ask that you would touch my brothers and sisters. Oh God, give them the desires of their hearts, and most of all, God, save them and fill them with the precious power of the Holy Ghost, letting them and helping them to believe that there is true divine deliverance in you, oh God, and not through man. We thank you and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Please join us again on next Sunday at 8:30 Central Standard Time. This is Evangelist Spain, and you're listening to the Divine Deliverance Ministries. God bless you.